Not quite Vincent Price.
Yes. As the monster snook on the canal began to rise, when suddenly, to my surprise,
All right. Fish and Frank here in the chair. Robert in the chair across me. Captain Kale in the guest spot. We're going to do a little tarpon talking. And I'm got that there. And what I got to do is bring up the Arium. Oh, there, I could have got it right there. Oh, look at that, I missed it. All right, hang on. Sorry, guys, I'm running a computer. And, you know, I'm actually thinking this week I'm going to go out of the bounds, step out of it, and actually try something unusual, like walking, talking, at the same time.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'm
I'll get the helmet.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see. I got our tarpon map up here, and you know this goes from pretty high up all the way down past Sanibel. Where would be the best spots right now to catch some tarpon?
To be honest with you, I'm gonna fish right there from Mangrove Point down along that east side between the Alligator Creek Reef all the way down to Pirate Harbor. That's gonna be my key spot I'm gonna look for. Basically between the bar and Alligator Creek.
Okay.
Or Alligator Creek Reef, I should say. You know, that seems to be the best concentration and variety of sizes, because those fish are literally 10 to 80 pounders. And they've been there early morning, afternoon, evening, kind of throughout the day. You're going to run into them sooner or later. Versus some of the other spots, it's been more of a morning bite or a late afternoon bite or even at night.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hitting, you know, like the DOA bait buster, the storm swim baits, and of course ladyfish. They're really feeding heavy on ladyfish right now. And with the glass minnows out there, you're even seeing a few occasional slurps of them. Is that what you're kind of running into, Kale?
Yes.
Well, you can disagree. It's okay. We don't
I don't completely disagree.
Kale over there. There's Normal over here. You know, we're good with that.
I don't completely disagree, but I'm going to... Sky's the limit right now. They're moving around so much and so inconsistent. I want to be putting my boat in first thing in the morning with a full tank of fuel.
Where would your best bet be to find a tarpon?
That's the problem. What might be your best bet today probably isn't going to be your best bet tomorrow. You've got to be willing to travel.
All right, but
I'm going
to
start.
Now, I'm trying to mark a map. So
I know.
Give me something on a map that I can put, like, either 50-50, you know, which is a yellow dot, or red, which is, you know.
I think I'm going to start at the 41 bridge, which is going to be about 50-50, first thing in the morning.
Okay.
And then if it happens to be the wrong side of that 50, I'm going to head over to Grassy Point, which I think is going to be another 50-50. Nothing's happening there. I'm going to go where Robert went, where you're probably about a 70-30.
Okay. Now, if what's going on? Anything down by Two Pines, Boquilla, Jug Creek, Boca Grande Pass, Englewood? You said something about Placida had some tarpon.
Placida's had them in the evening, and Tom Adams Bridge has had them at night.
All right. Now, I got a night thing here, so I'm going to go up here with that. Placida, and then head up here. That. All right. Now, Kale's talking 41 at night. 75, Englewood. No, Elgibine was a morning thing, wasn't it?
Elgibine's been a morning thing, yeah.
There hasn't been too very many at 41 Bridge at night either. It's okay. Been first thing in the morning, which is odd.
Gotcha. Now, anybody heard anything on the Coosahatchee?
Nothing at all. I haven't even heard anything down there by Sanibel.
Nothing Ponderosa?
There's been a few fish, at Sanibel Causeway at night and in the early morning. There's been some fish there, but as far as like around Knapp's Point and stuff like that, there should be fish out there along the beaches.
Captiva Rocks, Captiva Pass.
Some incidental fish that guys are bumping into while they're fishing for other fish have been hitting them right there in the intercoastal from Captiva up to Yuseppa. But not targetable. It's just been by accident.
All right.
and nothing along the beaches that I've heard of or in the passes at all. The water's so black in Boca, nobody's been really messing with it. Okay. Wouldn't surprise me if there's fish in there, but it's been pretty slow out there.
Okay, well,
it makes me
wonder. I'm going to save the map there. All right, now getting back to the stuff that I type about. Let's see, as long as I insert that. As far as... Go ahead, Kale. You were saying something about it.
Well, it's surprising that the Caloosahatchee is so quiet, and it makes me wonder if it's an actual lack of tarpon or just an actual lack of people fishing for them.
I'm going to say lack of reports.
Yeah, I think that's more the case. Because I'm sure there's fish down there. You just aren't getting the reports the way we normally should be.
Yeah, we're going to be hooking up more with Matt Johnson and Matt Haig, Bo Johnson, a bunch of the guides from down south there to get us more into the Caloosahatchee reporting. Well, we have a store going in not far from the Caloosahatchee River, so
we got to know.
We're going to have to learn.
Yes, we are.
And all that takes is I had Carl take a couple of the guys. I took Mike and Jeff down there to run around because it is a very cool spot, that lower end of Charlotte Harbor there. We always think of, for so many years, Charlotte Harbor as being the upper end, but it goes all the way down to Sanibel. But getting up on here, I've got tarpon is the best from the reef to Alligator Creek. What's some insights as to what you're going to do out there for tarpon right now?
Well, what I've been doing, the ones that are just below Mangrove Point, between Mangrove Point and the top of the reef, the storm swim baits seem to be the best bait of choice. I like them because you can fish them so many different ways. If you're seeing one tarpon roll here, one tarpon roll here, one tarpon roll there, you can do a nice slow troll with those baits. And then if you start seeing them gathering up and schooling up and start feeding heavier, you can start casting them too.
Yeah, but I'm going to say, if I'm going to do that slow, steady retrieve, I'm going to use the storm. But once I'm getting up where I'm seeing rolling fish and all that kind of stuff, and I want to start jigging, I'm going to switch to the bait buster. Personal preference.
Sure.
The other thing that would be going on is the Rapala Subwalk, the new single hooks and the old treble hook version, working the heck out of them on that subwalk.
And
but you got to use the bigger sizes. These aren't trout.
Right.
You really got to go step up, and you're using a much bigger lure. It's a lot of work because they're heavy, and it's not like the other ones where it's light. You got to work this thing, but it seems to be very effective.
Yeah, this is the time of year when you can also get away, because that subwalk there goes just a little bit under the surface, but some of those poppers work really surprisingly well too, because they're feeding on ladyfish and little bait fish. I mean, they're feeding on so many different varieties of bait down there that you can darn near throw just about anything and try it.
Yeah, this is the time of year where they become swimming garbage cans.
Yeah. You know, and of course me, I've always got one out the back of the boat under a bobber, you know, just a storm or a DOA. You know, that's my old faithful.
I'm really liking
Rodney B. Holder always seems to like hook more fish.
I'm really liking that storm under a bobber, too.
Now, I had a guy come in, and he was 40-some, almost 50 miles out in the Gulf, and was seeing big schools of tarpon.
Sure.
Do we think these tarpon are coming back in yet, or you think we're yet to see the influx of tarpon that we're going to see?
I think this is it.
I would like to say optimistic that they're going to come in, and hopeful that they're going to come in, but I think Robert's right.
Yeah, I mean, I would prefer to think optimistically, but the reality is that they've been out there for several weeks, because we've had several customers over the last month talk about those fish out there, and we keep waiting and waiting, and we've gone through two moon phases now since then, and they still have yet to come back in, and I don't understand why.
Tampa's
not crushing them. I mean, they're doing a little better than we are, but not phenomenally well.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything up there in Homosassa area as far as quality numbers or anything like that.
They said they had a lot of fish, but it was mostly smaller.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is normal.
It's like the year of juvenile tarpon, you know.
Well, the last 3 years have been this way.
Yeah.
You've been saying that every year for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
every year you're saying the canals are so full of them. I've never seen so many tarpon. And last year you said it again. And this year you've been pushing it all year. And what do you think the reason for the up, you know, the lack of mortality amongst the smaller fish are? Because maybe there's just more big fish spawning, maybe more eggs being produced, but I don't think so. It's got to be some reason that the smaller fish are living better.
I don't think that they're living better. We're just seeing a bigger presence of them. I think everything that we're seeing is about food.
I don't think we're seeing anything, but we're looking better. What?
No, it's there's a bigger presence of them in the water. There's more of them dumping out of the canals into the harbor.
There's
right
more
now.
Fish in the canals, right?
No, I'm not saying there's more. I'm saying there's more coming out of the canals. There's not as many holding back in the canals. There's less big tarpon right now. I think there's less pressure on the food. It's easier for those smaller tarpon to come out and feed better. I think that's the reason we're seeing the big tarpon offshore. Yeah, I think it's a food issue.
I don't know. I don't know. I think you're kind of grasping at some straws there. I'm not. You didn't convince me with any of that.
I'm not sure where to go with it. I mean, our thread fins have been here for the last several years. Maybe not in as great in numbers as they normally are, but good enough. I don't have an answer of why the big fish aren't around.
No, I'm just talking about.
I don't think it's a mortality issue.
I don't think you understood what I asked. I asked was, why do you think there's so many little tarpon around? There's so many smaller tarpon around. It doesn't seem to be any more bigger tarpon around this year versus last year versus the year before. But each year we seem to be having more smaller tarpon around.
Right.
And Kale's argument was, well, we're just seeing more of them. It's the same amount of fish, but we're just seeing them more.
Right.
And I don't think so. You know, every year for the last 3 years, you've been talking about more and more and more tarpon. And the only way that happens is if more of the eggs survive.
Right.
More of the eggs survive, more fish make it to where we can see them, because tarpon start out an eighth of an inch long. You know what I mean? And places like when you go up on Taylor Road, that creek up there, I forget, Taylor Creek? I don't know what the heck it is.
Alligator Creek?
Little Alligator Creek, yeah, yep. Where the Taylor Road Dam is. Between that, right by the Alapache boat ramp there, there's a ton of tarpon there, but they're 4 to 6 inches long. Some of them are a foot, 12 inches, a lot of tiny ones there. There's a few tiny ones up the rivers, a lot of them in the creeks. But why, and then after they get a little bit bigger, then they go to the canals, Port Charlotte canals, Punta Gorda canals, and then once they get big enough, then they travel with the adults. They go to Mexico and Louisiana and everywhere else, the Keys. They go everywhere. But I wonder what happened that we have a higher survivability rate of tarpon. Could it be the simple fact that the water every year for the last few years has been getting hotter and hotter, less oxygen in those little creeks and stuff? Tarpon can breathe air, one of the only fish that can do that. So are the other fish not going in to prey upon them in these little canals as much as they used to because of the low oxygen?
Yeah, I think that's a good plausible theory. I think the other thing to think about too is, like, maybe they are getting pushed out of the canals and the creeks a little bit sooner than they normally would, because we're seeing Mayan cichlids everywhere in the last several years, and maybe there's a predation thing going on there that's changed.
Them eating the Mayans, or the Mayans eating them?
The Mayans eating them, maybe.
All right, that doesn't account for more and more fish.
No, but maybe moving them around a little bit more, where we're seeing more at the mouths of the canals instead of way up in the back canals.
So you think these schools of little fish are going attacking a bigger fish?
I think of equal size, maybe.
Well, the Mayan cichlids in the canals are usually 2, 3, 4 feet long, and the cichlids are only a few inches.
They'll get up 10, 12 inches.
Yeah, but that still doesn't account for a 2 to 4 foot fish moving them.
I'm reaching.
Yeah, you didn't convince me at all on that. I didn't think that the topic went well. Both you guys, I think, you know, we could have sent you to Colorado for a week.
Well, I look at it this way.
Plausible. I mean, it was an idea.
But what if we had the last 3 years? Significant rain events.
Yeah.
And it's always been pretty much the same thing. It pushes all those thread fins offshore. there's still plenty of pinfish to eat. There's still plenty of ladyfish to eat. There's still plenty of glass minnows to eat. Perfect prey for those medium to small sized tarpon. I think that's why our big ones aren't coming in. There's no reason to.
Well, you just told me there's a whole bunch of schools of tarpon, or of thread fins all over the harbor.
Robert told you that on the southern end of the harbor.
Well, you guys...
Not up here.
All right, but as far as I knew, you guys told me that there was a lot of thread fins out there.
And even if there are a lot of thread fins here now, they're already 50 miles offshore.
And
do you use the McDonald's down?
You told me there was thread fins. You said there was ladyfish. You said the Spanish mackerel coming in. You were surprised by how many fish were there. All that is tarpon food.
Yes, but they're already 50 miles offshore. Do you eat at the McDonald's down to your house or about down the road from your house, or do you drive to the one in Naples?
I still think you're reaching because every other year they come back for it. This year they're not.
This year they're not, and I don't know why. I really don't.
I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong and completely wrong. I'm just saying it's not the ta-da, this is the answer. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think it completely is. There's a lot of variables.
Nino. Okay. It's El Nino's fault. I'm going to roll with that. Just because of the rains all winter long, all the fresh water changed the chemistry in the harbor a little bit to keep those fish from wanting to stay.
Mm-hmm.
It very well could be. I mean, that's the one thing that we don't watch.
Well, it's the one thing that, hell, it's been 15 years since the last one or something like that. And I don't remember 15 years ago.
97.
I can honestly tell you, this is... El Nino is the most likely reason they didn't come back in because of the change in the weather patterns. We've had a lot of thunderstorms, and they don't like lightning, so they might be moving in and getting pushed back out. There might be too much predation from this, or they could not. Maybe there's not enough food here when they do show up to stay.
Right. The other thing that's changed, too, in these last at least 2 years that I'm aware of is our winds consistently the last 2 years are a little heavier than normal.
Absolutely.
And been a little bit more northerly than westerly or southwesterly.
And lasting longer.
That's what I mean. They really haven't been dying off.
Right.
You know, and that's been just the last 2 years for sure. I mean, August, you always have your steam bath days, but predominantly the last 2 years all through tarpon season, it blew because usually it was like right after my birthday, you know, that second week of May.
Yep.
It's like a light switch went off. The winds would stop blowing. It would get nice and calm. You'd have the afternoon sea breeze. But the last 2 years, you've had those more predominantly northern winds with some south and west wind.
Well, I didn't mean to throw that on you guys, but
it's good when you get the things going.
Right. You get a little conversation like this going, and sometimes there's that aha, ta-da type moment where, okay, somebody hit upon a thought that actually sounds like it worked. I don't think we accomplished that.
Nope.
To me, I don't think we will.
I don't. No, we usually do. But
we usually at least come up with an idea that's plausible.
Absolutely. But you're talking about the most finicky fish out there to begin with.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But, you know, there's just so many things that go on with all that. But anyway, we were talking about tarpon. And this is Fish and Frank in the chair here, Robert in the chair across from me. And in the guest spot is Captain Kale. We tried to solve the world tarpon problem or the tarpon questions. I thought, personally, the three of us failed miserably. But, you know, some theories thrown out there. And we're going to give us something to think about until the next radio fishing. Thank you guys for listening. Louisiana people, you know, hearts with you guys. You know, try and dry out. California, God bless you. I mean, I know you guys are a little strange, you're a little weird, but you don't deserve that, for God's sakes.
No kidding.
That fires all over the Western United States. Our heart goes out to you, and if anybody out there can lend a helping hand to California and all the other states on fire and the one underwater, friends in Louisiana. And then we had tornadoes up north. This is definitely the weird year. I mean, I keep
strange
saying
strange weather.
I've never followed anything. I've followed the politics this year. I followed the weather this year. I've followed the fishing this year, and all of it's making me crazy.
Yeah, it's what else can you blame it on other than El Nino?
Yeah,
really.
We should not be allowed to have elections and everything else going on an El Nino year.
Right.
There's your explanation, boys and girls.
There you go.
You know, that El Nino did it all, but at least for the weather. But anyway, like I say, our heart's out with all you people having a hard time. We know what it's like. We had one afternoon, and we lost everything in a matter of a very short time period. Everything
minutes.
Was gone. In minutes, lost the house, lost the store and the belongings, everything we owned. Other than that, everything was fine.
Yeah.
And so, you know, our hearts do go out to you. And so anybody who can help out, please do so. And we will catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.